Susie Thorpe
on Cambridge 105 Radio.
Right, in the studio right now, I've got Helen Pomeroy, British Wheel of Yoga teacher. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's very nice to have you here. I've longed to talk about yoga because I tried it when I was 6 months pregnant about nearly 30 years ago and I loved it. But why did I not continue? This is the thing. Anyway, so why did you get into yoga, Helen?
I got into yoga by chance. My mum bought me a yoga book. I'd asked for an aerobics book because this was in the 80s. And she came back with a yoga book. And I'm like, what's this? And I started looking through. And I was just intrigued and started practicing the poses. And it just felt amazing. I think it was a challenge to actually get into the poses. And then the more you do, you realise it's not about the pose. It's the moving in, the moving out, the moving with control. And it's quite challenging and keeps you interested, especially as a teenager.
Well, actually, that's two things. Teenager, not the sort of thing that you would get into, but and then a book. You followed a book. Nowadays, we're following apps and videos and YouTubes, but you followed a book. So you were very, very interested in it at that time.
Yeah, it really struck a chord with me. I think it was about, possibly, I used to like gymnastics. So the flexibility side interested me. And it was just something I did for me. I wanted to keep fit and exercise, but it just went beyond that. I just really loved the practice. It gave me quiet time, I think. When you're a teenager, there's so much angst going on in your life. And I could just, my family knew Helen was going to do her yoga. So they learnt that if Helen was going to be sane and pleasant later, Helen had to go away and do her yoga. And I felt really good. And then if you feel good, you actually are good afterwards.
Yeah, well, that's a really interesting point. Now, you've got your yoga business. You've been in Cambridge for a bit and you've practiced and you actually teach private lessons and small groups.
Yes.
But if somebody was coming to yoga, very new, hadn't done it before, what would you say was the best benefit ever about yoga?
I think it gives you an awareness of what's happening in your body. It's great to do all sorts of exercise. The fitter we are, the better. But yoga, it brings us in. We actually, if we're in a pose, we're thinking, what's our heel doing? What are our fingertips doing? And then if you can't get into something, you ask why. Why can't I get there? It makes you curious. And is it because your muscles are tight? Is it because there's something with your bones stopping you, or is it fear? You just don't know, and it takes you on an inquiry.
Mm. And we were saying earlier that you don't have to do it for an hour. You can do it for 5-10 minutes and build up, can't you?
Oh, definitely.
There's no sort of rule that it has to be for a certain amount of time.
No. We have classes which are an hour because that's a convenient slot of time to teach. But if you do a little yoga at home, you might just want to do 5 or 10 minutes, and in even lying down with your legs up against a wall, focusing on your breathing, I think is a yoga practice. And I used to do that when my son was a baby because there wasn't really much time for anything else. So while he was settling and going to sleep at night, my yoga practice was lying down, legs up the wall, and just focusing on my breathing. And
that sounds amazing.
That counts. That's it. I was in touch with my body. It's relaxing. And
that's the key, isn't it? Not to be frightened that you have to spend a whole time. Little pieces of movement are much better for you.
Definitely.
And building up once you become more supple. I mean, so people say, do you do yoga to lose weight, or do you? I mean, there are so many reasons, but it's not just about losing weight, is it? It's your body just becomes a lot more supple and...
Yes, it becomes supple. It becomes strong as well, because yoga isn't just about... You improve your flexibility, but you improve your strength, and that's really important, because if you're very flexible, you can go too far. We only need to have a certain amount of flexibility in our bodies, and we need to have strength, and we need to have that awareness of where we are in space so we don't injure ourselves. So I think it puts a lot of people off by thinking they have to be really flexible. And if you're very flexible, sometimes it's almost like you don't have breaks and you don't know where to stop in the poses, so you can go too far. And it's it's the getting into the pose and moving with control, and then the coming out that's so important. Obviously, being there and breathing. But if you just keep going and going, you turn your yoga practice perhaps into more of a sort of contortionist act, and not actually thinking about your alignment and creating space.
But little and often is probably the key, isn't it? And we were saying earlier about how life in the 21st century is becoming very stressed. We have laptops, we travel a lot more, we're able to do a lot more because of the convenience of the internet and everything else. And because of that, we're sitting or standing in one place, and this stresses the body, doesn't it?
It's really bad for the body. If you can see, when you're sitting, you tend to round your spine, your abdominals aren't engaged, your shoulders are rounding. If you're using your iPhone or your iPad, you adopt that posture. So what I do in a lot of yoga now is core strengthening, lengthening the spine, and trying to get space back in the shoulders, trying to reverse that rounding of the shoulders. It becomes habitual. And another good thing with yoga, it looks at what our habits are, and your yoga practice is trying to reverse those habits. I love the quote that your yoga practice has to be more clever than your... Sorry, it's bad, really bad English. But it has to be cleverer than your daily habits. You have to try and retrain yourself.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? Retraining yourself. We're so obsessed by everything else that actually when we start moving our shoulders back, our head becomes a little clearer, doesn't it?
It becomes clearer, and you get more space, and it improves your breathing as well. You lengthen your spine, and you can breathe. We're not breathing shallow in the same shallow way. We're just taking the full breath. We're trying to use... Our lungs are big, and we get into a habit of just these little shallow breaths, and that can lead to anxiety, and it becomes a habit. So in a yoga lesson, we're trying to expand and fill and create space.
Now, I know you say here that you actually devise private lessons for people, so people can have their own sort of lessons and movements that are literally individually geared for them. But I heard that there are so many different moves, and we won't go into how many definitions of yoga, because I know they're quite a bit. But someone said to me recently that it's like going into a supermarket. You pick the fruits, but there are different fruits to pick that you can match with, and you can literally put different parts of yoga together and move them around. And what's geared to you, really? It's amazing, isn't it?
It is. It's fully adaptable. There are lots of different postures. You see pictures of the different poses, but we don't all have to be in those poses. We can modify them, we can adapt them, we can tailor them to what's needed for that person. And you can do tiny bits of a pose and you still get the benefits. You don't need to do the full thing.
Yeah. And I like the idea of meditation, but obviously meditation is part of the yoga, or is it quite... could you make it quite separate?
Well, meditation was yoga to begin with thousands of years ago, and it still is a huge part of yoga. The postural yoga, the hatha yoga we practice, is just a tiny part of the overall concept of yoga. And our hatha yoga, it can be meditative, and you can meditate separately, or you can try to bring a little meditation into your practice. I think yoga is perhaps just a doorway for some people to get more interested in meditation. Some people just can't stop, especially in the West. We're a bit like... it's like, I love this image of putting a lid on a pressure cooker. You know, we need to relax, we need to do something to work the body, and then perhaps we're ready to sit and meditate.
And I think a lot of businesses and companies now are incorporating that, aren't they, into the day. So I think sometimes I read somewhere, I think it was Cambridge Space, they now have time where all the employees actually sit down together and do some yoga and try and relax before. I think it's a great idea, isn't it?
It's a really nice idea. It improves everyone's well-being. And from the employee's point of view, it makes you feel like your employer actually cares about you and recognises the fact that you're sitting for long hours and perhaps not getting the time to exercise that you might want.
And I also read somewhere that the German national football team have their own specific yoga teacher that travels around with them.
That would be a great job, wouldn't it?
But you don't know these things, do you? You never get to hear about it. And yet it's probably quite fundamental to most sports athletic teams.
It's a really good complementary approach to have on top of all of the training they do. They do huge amounts of muscle strengthening, and they do flexibility. They have brilliant programs, but perhaps the yoga's there to stretch in a different way and to bring the body together as a whole, and perhaps to help them to relax, because I know they have a great lifestyle, but it must be pretty stressful when you're losing. Not that the Germans lose very often.
And I hear David Beckham, it's in his life as well. He does it quite a bit.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I read that one up as well. So very impressed.
That's good.
Well, he's an athlete. What do you expect? He's going to be into all the modern things. Yeah. Helen, what's been, so what, how has your company evolved then? How have you learnt to really pinpoint what works for your clients?
Well, I think you find out, as a yoga teacher, you find out what works for you, and you teach a particular style that's from you, and people come for that.
And all different ages, people come and do the yoga, is that right?
Yes, a lot of different age groups. I tend to teach it's more tailored, and it might be more gentle. So I think somebody who's a lot younger and wants to be working in a big dynamic class wouldn't really enjoy yoga with me.
So when you teach and give private lessons, do they go away with a particular form of exercise that they can take with them and use every day?
Yes, I'm really happy to tailor a little practice for people and to give them some diagrams and explanations about what to do. But also, they can do it every day, or they can do something different. It's nice just to work on one area one day and another thing another day.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Helen Pomeroy, for coming in. Yoga teacher. What's your company called again? What is it?
I'm Helen Pomeroy
Yoga.
It
is Helen Pomeroy.
Yes.
Brilliant.
Very imaginative.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming in. I really hope we all take up much more yoga, because I think in the day, the sort of things that we live now and get through, we are a bit stressed, are we not?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Everything helps.
Thank you so much indeed, Helen Pomeroy. Now
thank
time
you.
For the travel news.
Travel on Cambridge.